Timmy and the Knicks. All right. Well, I will not be doing any singing during this talk, so we're just going to save that for those people. Today, we are going to be in Galatians 1:10. I'll just tell you right now, right off the bat, for those of you with Bibles, you can go there. So I am 20 right now, which means that when I was in middle school, I did not have social media. No Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook, though I know like no young person really uses Facebook that much anymore, but older people still do, so I mention it. I was actually a little bit late to the whole social media game. I didn't get Twitter until I was 16, and I did not even get my first smartphone until I was 18. So you guys are like way ahead of me in that, but I do have one now, so I'm connected. I used to borrow actually my mom's old flip phone to go places, which sounds very like ancient and archaic. I see pictures of it in like the history book now, which is kind of sad. But when I was in middle school, I used this ancient thing called email. So that's, I know, sighs of sadness for me. That's how I communicated with people, through email. But now, you'll be glad to know, I love social media, and my whole family actually is pretty into social media. So my brother Travis, who I mentioned last night, he's 18. He is really into Snapchat right now. Now, Snapchat does have some legitimate safety concerns, but Travis only Snapchats with me and one other person. And he likes the immediacy of being able to just like send something right away and then the novelty that it disappears. My dad likes Facebook because, well, he's a pastor and he likes words. And he likes being able to communicate things in longer sections than Twitter may allow. So he's really interested in that, as well as most people of his generation. No offense, Dad, or people of that generation. My mom loves Instagram, primarily for one thing, and that is cat pictures and cat videos. And that's kind of like, Instagram is the place to be for those things. You know that I love cats. My mother also loves cats. And that is basically all that she follows on Instagram and all that she does. But she does follow a few other like spiritual accounts. And the Toronto Blue Jays, her like all-time favorite baseball team. But it is the cat videos that she really loves and the thing that she goes to Instagram for. And then she loves to show everyone in our family what she finds. Like, oh, look, the video of the cat playing the piano. And yeah, they're good videos. They're good videos, I will say. I personally am more of a Twitter fan myself. I like being able to have access to so many famous people that you can just hear their thoughts, people that I respect but I don't know. And so I get to hear their wisdom. And also because at Kids Write Jokes is legitimately the funniest account on Twitter. If you're on Twitter, you need to look these people up. It is just this account that is literally just terrible, terrible jokes that little kids have told. They make no sense at all. Like this one. Why does the crow laugh? Because they are mad. Ha ha ha, I am also mad. And it makes no sense, people. It makes no sense. That's the funny part. And what did the jealous man say to the movie star? You stink, loser. That's the joke. Yeah, you should look it up. It's really funny, but in a way that makes no sense. So this morning, we are talking about social media, but we're talking about so much more than social media. So my hope is that if you use social media, this talk will both encourage and practically serve you. But if you don't use social media, do not worry, because this will be completely relevant. And that's because we're going to talk about the spiritual realities behind social media, comparison and contentment. So last night we talked about identity, who we were created to be, and how we were created to live. How is our identity changed because of the gospel, because we follow Jesus? So we are called, loved, and kept by God. So we're here to live for God, love God, and persevere for God. So we're supposed to live free, grateful, and happy. Throughout the rest of this weekend, we're going to talk about how that works out into your real lives as middle school students. And this morning, we're going to connect it to comparison, approval, insecurity, discontentment. Obviously, no things no middle school student has dealt with ever. But honestly, these are things humans deal with, whether you're in middle school, high school, whether you're a youth leader, a pastor. These are things that are a common condition of humanity. So let's get into this. We're going to look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Galatians 1:10. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So context here, context is very, very important. And here, it's that false teaching, like this is similar to the book of Jude, so teaching about Jesus that is not true, false teaching has infected the church in Galatia. That's who the book of Galatians was written to. And Paul, who wrote Galatians, is very, very upset about this. If you know anything about the book of Galatians, it's kind of known that this is the book that Paul was pretty mad, pretty heated, pretty upset when he wrote this. And so he said some hard things to the church in Galatia. But in this verse, verse 10 of chapter 1, he recognizes that he does not work for them. He does not live for their approval. He lives for God's approval. He lives for God's acceptance. So he will fearlessly proclaim what is true. And I think there are four truths that we can take from this verse to apply to our lives as 21st century young people dealing with the overwhelming pressure to conform and compare, especially on social media. These four truths are: you are accepted by God, so comparison is pointless, which means contentment is key, so use social media to celebrate, not shame. So first, you are accepted by God. This is where we're coming from last night. If your identity is in Christ, if you have turned from your sin and trusted in Christ, then you are accepted by God. Once we were enemies, and now we are children. Romans 8, 16 and 17 says this: the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. And this is the most incredible news you could hear. This is the best thing you're going to hear today, this weekend, and seriously the best, like the rest of your life. This is the best news you can hear. You are accepted by the God of the universe. And that means that if you are a Christ follower, there is nothing you can do to make God not accept you or stop loving you. Tim Keller, a pastor and an author, he says this about this: the gospel is the good news of gracious acceptance. Christians who trust in Christ for their acceptance with God, rather than in their own moral character, commitment, or performance, are, and here he uses a Latin phrase, simul iustus et peccator. That means simultaneously sinful, yet accepted. And he continues, and he says, we are more flawed and sinful than we ever dared believe, yet we are more loved and accepted than we ever dared hope at the same time. Every human being is an acceptance junkie. We crave acceptance and approval. More than anything, we want to be loved in this moment right now. We don't want to have to clean up, get a few more followers, get higher grades, try harder, do more to be accepted. We just want to be loved right now. And that is what the gospel gives us. We are fully accepted by God. But it's important to recognize that that is only because of what Christ did, not because of what we have done. And that doesn't excuse us from seeking to obey God right now, to become more like Jesus, to pursue holiness. Rather, that should be our motivation. But we have to start here. This is the foundation of our satisfaction in life. The most important and glorious being in the universe accepts you. Yes, you. And I want you so much to realize that. Paul realized it, and that's why he did not care about human acceptance. He was resting totally in his God acceptance. And that leads to the second truth that we learn here, and that is that comparison is pointless. If we are resting in our acceptance in Christ, we will realize this. But that is really, really, really hard. A while ago, I was on Instagram, and I saw a picture of this girl who was the exact same age as me. But she's a lot more famous than me. And I just instinctively started comparing, like, every part of myself to her. My body, because she is way prettier than me. Her relationships, because she has way more friends than me. My career, because she is way more successful than me. My experiences, because she gets to do way more fun things than I get to do. And as embarrassing as that is to admit, I somehow think that I'm not the only person in this room who has ever done that. Because as much as comparison is pointless, I can say that till I'm blue in the face. We all do it. I still do it. And as I was thinking about my own life and the lives of other young people I know, I realized that most of our comparison falls into one of three categories: our bodies or physical appearances, our minds or intellects, and our lives. So let's break those down. First, comparing our bodies. For many of us, especially the female ones of us, I think this is the most obvious one. And one of the reasons is because it is the most pervasive. So we see pictures and images and clips of beautiful people's bodies and faces everywhere. And we have been subconsciously trained to measure our physical appearance against theirs. And guys are not exempt. I have a brother, and I know that you deal with this too. But this is such an ugly, shameful, paralyzing way to live. God made your body, and he crafted every single part of it for his glory. And he made every other human's body. He made you to embrace this body as a gift and to check comparison at the door. Comparing our bodies is toxic and absolutely non-Christian. That is not a Christian way to act and live and think. So it's not wrong to want to be healthy or strong, but it's wrong to hate God's creation. And it's wrong to measure ourselves against a standard that we were never meant to use. God did not design us to base our beauty on our friends or a model or our parents or our siblings or an actor or an actress. You have been accepted by God, and that means that your body has been accepted by God. So comparison is fruitless and fatal. But not only is comparing our bodies pointless, so is comparing our minds. And when I think of this, I don't just think of our brains, but our social skills, how we interact, what we know, who we know. And this can be some of the most tempting to compare ourselves. Yet often we don't even realize that we're comparing ourselves when this is going on. We just know that we're in this situation and we feel inferior. For example, when someone scores higher than you on a test that you were really confident in, a subject that you're really comfortable with, or when you feel awkward at a party or at a conversation and someone else is able to handle it with just so much more poise and grace and confidence than you. Ultimately, it's when we feel ashamed of how we act when it is not sin and we find someone else who is just doing it so much better than us. But again, this is completely pointless. We are accepted by God. Our minds are accepted by God. Our mouths are accepted by God. Our awkwardness, our personality, our introversion or extroversion are accepted by God. Comparison only breeds insecurity, frustration, and shame. Now, the last category of comparison we young people often buy into is comparing our lives. So we wish our lives were as exciting as our friends' lives. We wish we could go on vacations like our friends. We wish we had all the opportunities our friends had. And this feeds into FOMO, our fear of missing out, because we are comparing ourselves to someone else's life, and we don't want to miss anything. We don't want to miss what's happening. And FOMO actually feeds into an addiction to social media, which makes it a vicious cycle. Comparing our lives with others creates envy. And this, again, is not the standard God meant for us to measure our lives against. Our happiness should not be founded in if we're keeping up with our friends or with a celebrity or someone you see on social media. It should be grounded in our acceptance by God. So what is the response to comparison? We know we have to embrace the fact that we are accepted by God. But more than that, we have to latch onto contentment. This is the third truth we find in Galatians 1:10. Contentment is he. And this is sort of layered underneath between what he's saying here. But he says it explicitly, Paul that is, in a letter to another church. In the book of Philippians, verses 11 and 12 of chapter 4, he says this. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Whatever situation. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And earlier in that same book, Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, he says this, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." Contentment is being satisfied with ourselves and our circumstances because we are ultimately satisfied in God. That's how it connects to identity. We are sure of who we are in Christ, called, loved, and kept, living happy, grateful, and free. So we face every situation and person with grace and peace. But that is so, so, so much easier said than done. So let's talk about how this plays out in some common scenarios that we face. First, people pleasing. Somebody tell me that I am not the only people pleaser here. See, nobody's going to tell me because you guys are all people pleasers, so you don't want anyone to think badly of you here. I know you because I am you. People pleasing is something that most of us deal with, and I am a bad people pleaser. I desperately want to be liked, so I want to say yes, yes, yes to everything, and I don't want anybody to think badly of me, and I don't want anybody to not like me, so I worry that they will think badly of me, and they won't like me, and I will end up sad and alone. So I want everybody to just like me. But contentment says, wait a minute, step back. I am seeking the approval of God, not people. I am seeking to please him above others, and that means that I might disappoint some people, and that's okay. It's shifting from a self-focus to a God-focus. Because that is the lie of people-pleasing. It's deceived us into thinking that we're others-focused. Because we're thinking, you know, I just want to please others. I just want to do things for others. But that's not how people-pleasing works. People-pleasing is really motivated in selfishness because it is completely about us. So that means saying no, even when you want to say yes in some situation. It means repenting of our selfish desire to be liked by everyone. It means setting boundaries, and that is all stuff that I'm really bad at, but I'm getting better at. I'm working on it because no human being can satisfy us. No human being. Only God can. And please do not brush that off as cliche because it is true, and that is the thing that we have to latch onto. Paul, back in Galatians 1:10, he basically says, I could try to seek the approval of people, but I've tried that, and it's a waste of time. It's worthless. It is pointless. That's why I'm a servant of Christ, because I am seeking his approval, and that is all that matters. My people-pleasing can tend to manifest itself on social media. So I want to post things that make people like me, that think well of me, but I cannot look to social media to satisfy me, and neither can you. We have to look to God. Now, second situation I think this manifests itself in is the reality of suffering and embracing contentment in the midst of it. So we all face hard situations. Some of us face bigger and harder ones than others. Some of us haven't really faced that much suffering, but definitely will later on in life. So what does contentment look like in suffering? Now, first of all, it is not saying this horrible stuff is good. No, it's first recognizing it as horrible. It's seeing it as a result of sin. This is a gospel lens through which you look at suffering. But then it's recognizing it as something that God has ordained in your life for two reasons: for his glory and for your good. But what does that really mean? First, it means that your suffering brings God more praise, honor, and fame than you not suffering. That's why it's happening right now. And second, it means that God is still for you. He has not abandoned you. He has not left you. He has not stopped loving you. He is not allowing you to suffer because he does not care. Now, that does not mean that you're going to find out the exact specific reason why this is happening in this life or even in the next. Like, there's a pot of gold at the end of every suffering. That is just not true. What it means is that this suffering is for your eternal good. So accept what circumstances God has for you and fight for joy in the midst of them. Pray and pray and read God's word and trust. Finally, let's talk about social media. We've talked about how our identity, who we are in Christ, has informed comparison and contentment and approval and insecurity. It shows us that we are accepted by God, so comparison is pointless. Instead, contentment is key. So how does that inform how we use social media? Ultimately, it means we need to use it for God's glory instead of our own glory. And for starters, that might mean getting off of it. I know. Didn't expect that, did you? At the very least, we should take breaks from it, regular breaks from it. Social media is not reality. We just have to face that fact. It is filtered, it is edited, and I'm pretty sure that you know that. A couple of years ago, this Australian model and Instagram celebrity named Asena O'Neill, she came out and she basically shot her huge platform to bits by explaining that most of her pictures were fake. Sometimes she would take hundreds of pictures in one position just to get one shot for Instagram. So she went back through her Instagram account, and then instead of deleting the pictures, she changed the captions, and she started writing honest captions for these pictures. Here are some of them. Not real life. Took over 100 in similar poses trying to make my stomach look good. Would have hardly eaten that day. Would have yelled at my little sister to keep taking them until I was somewhat proud of this. Yep, so totally hashtag goals. It's another one. The only thing that made me feel good that day was this photo. How deeply depressing. Having a toned body is not all that we as human beings are capable of. And one more. And yet another photo taken purely to promote my 16-year-old body. This was my whole identity. That was so limiting. Made me incredibly insecure. You have no idea. She said, I found myself drowning in the illusion. Social media isn't real. It's purely contrived images and edited clips ranked against each other. It's a system based on social approval, likes and dislikes, validation in views, success in followers. It's perfectly orchestrated judgment, and it consumed me. Social media has the potential to consume us, to take away our joy, to drive our comparison, to kill our contentment. So we need to take breaks from it. We cannot live our lives on social media. So me, for example, I take a weekly Sabbath from social media. I do not use any social media on Sundays, and that is really, really good and healthy for me. Now, because of my career, what I'm doing in life, I kind of have to be on social media, but other young people do not. And if your primary concern is contentment and fighting comparison, and if social media is hindering that, I am going to ask you to consider getting off of it. At least take a couple week break, a month break, a couple month break, and see what happens after that. Now, for those of us who want to remain on social media, I think there's one big principle that should guide how we use it, and that is to celebrate, not shame. Social media could be called a comparison factory because of how we tend to posture ourselves to edit and filter our lives so that we all try to outdo one another and be prettier than each other and be funnier than each other and be stronger than each other and be better than each other, and then to retreat in shame when we feel insecure. And I hate that, and I want to get away from that. So I want to use social media to celebrate life. Now that means I cleaned up my follower list. I only follow people who are kind and humble and gracious. I do not follow supermodels who only post selfies. That's not good for me. I don't even follow some friends who I know primarily just post selfies that are very edited and angled to be as, you know, seductive and attractive as possible. That's what they're looking for, and that's not healthy for me to see that. So I try to intentionally post things that reflect the beauty of life. You know, sometimes it's in its ordinary glory and sometimes in its more special moments. So sometimes it is me eating ribs, and I really got to clear this up. I am into barbecue. I need to say that. Just South Carolina barbecue is different, people. It's different. All right, fine. We're just going to have confession time right here. I do not like mustard. So... Okay. Thank you. See, look, I am being so vulnerable with you guys, even though my people pleasing wants me to not say it. Yes, I don't like mustard. So I like non-mustard-based barbecue sauces. Thank you. I can just leave now. All right. So sometimes I post pictures of me eating barbecue. Sometimes I post pictures of a great book I'm reading. Sometimes I post a killer shot of the ocean. Sometimes it's when something really exciting happens in my life and I want to let my friends know. I try not to post tons of selfies because I know that when I do, it is usually rooted in a cause that is not God-glorifying. It's usually self-glorifying. That's different, though, and I don't want to rely on the likes. I don't want to feel that shame. But really, I think social media can be hugely fun and cool and God-glorifying if we use it to honor him and celebrate this world and this life that he has given us, and we refuse to shame ourselves and others. So, to wrap this up, if you have been saved, you, just like Paul, have been set free from the bondage of seeking the approval of man, seeking the approval of people. You have been set free from the chains of comparison and shame. You have been accepted by God, and you can be content because of that. And that will inform how you use social media and how you live. The gospel changes how you live, especially how you relate to others, both on and off social media. Thank you. Thank you.